What are you trying to do? You said I'm so different than you, different than you. You said,
welcome back to the Katie Records podcast on the God Normal. Today we're going to take a look at Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and the way that he asked the Father for things. Today on the God Normal, divine interaction. You know, there's a text in Mark 14 that really jumps out to me when I think of how Jesus talked to his Father. The way that God interacts with himself, the different person in the person of Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. I think this is one of the fundamental ideas of what is the God normal. What is normal for God? You know, what is the way that he acts and the way that he interacts? And especially Jesus being our example, he said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. This is the example that we're supposed to follow. How did he talk to the Father? Well, if you look in Mark 14, verse 36, Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Wow. When I hear that, when I read that, it amazes me. You know, just in verse 34, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He was so heavy. His spirit was so heavy that he could have died from the misery and the pain and the weight of the sin and separation that he carried. And yet he was still able to tell the Father, not what I want, but what you want. His will is the right thing. Matthew 26, verse 53, Jesus said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? In this text, we see that Jesus's connection with the Father is always open. It is a partnership of sacrifice that they're going through right now. They're working on things together. They're in the same army, and their communication is open and understood. There's a common empathy there. The Father is standing at the ready. His whole entire heart wills the best for his Son, and that no, his Son will not suffer pain. So when we look at this, and when we're afraid, and when we're in pain, and when we wish that we didn't have to deal with certain situations that come upon us, we can know certainly that God the Father knows our struggle. He knows our pain. He's empathetic with us. And his divine will, as we heard in the text previous to this, the Mark text, his divine will is perfect. Not our will, but his will, because he knows the best for us. He's God, and everything he does is right. Okay? But even then, he does not want us to suffer. And we know that. And we have decided to work with him, moving forward with him, joining with him in his plan so that perfection may return into the universe, so that everyone can forever live in peace, so that there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, neither any more crying, for the former things will all pass away. Jesus was about to perform the greatest miracle in the eyes of those who had yet to believe on him. Lazarus had been dead for several days and his body had begun to decay. So Jesus stood in front of the tomb and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He wanted it to be perfectly clear that the Father was giving him the power to perform this great act. Everything that Jesus did on the planet was to point us back to the Father. He has always been his faithful witness. That was recorded in John 11, verses 41 and 42. In John 12, Jesus is talking to Greeks and his disciples after he rode into Jerusalem, and he says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, lie, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Chapter 12, verses 23 through 32 that I just read. What Jesus told them that day is amazing to me because it's full of such realness, such passion, such truth. His soul was troubled. This was the time for the prince of the world to be cast out. The prince of the world, Jesus said many times, was Satan. It was sealed. The whole universe would see how far they would go, that they would actually kill the Son of God. The interaction between the Father and the Son is seamless. Jesus is saying, you know, what am I going to say? I can't ask the Father to take this away from me because this is why I'm here. They were seamless. He spoke, Father, glorify thy name. And the Father said, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And he did this thing so that the people could hear it. I mean, there are so many different examples of interaction between the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, you could talk about Abraham and all of this, but Jesus's interaction with the Father shows a real love relationship. There was constant communication and a complete prayer life. In Matthew 14:23, you can see that after Jesus fed the 5,000, he was tired along with everybody else. But yet and still, he went aside by himself. He sent the disciples away. He went up in the mountain and he prayed. And he was there until the fourth watch of the night, until he came out and walked on the water and had Peter come out with him. Jesus' interaction with the Father shows thankfulness. There's joy in the love and the will of the Father. It was evident. And he said the words, thank you. He said the words, I thank you. Jesus's interaction with the Father shows faith in the promise of power. Jesus did not hesitate to request good things and commanded others to do so. He allowed the Father to shine through his good works. This was the purpose of the works. Trust in the divine wisdom. Jesus put in his lot daily with the Father, continually reaffirming his inseparable commitment and respect for the perfect one. Nothing else matters. In his wisdom, all things are covered. Jesus's interaction with the Father shows candid honesty. Jesus opened himself entirely to his Father. He did not hide his agony in the garden, nor did he block back his tears. The truth calls for truth, as deep calleth unto deep. Jesus kept nothing back from his Father. He said, the Father is in me and I in him. That's in John 10:38. We have to have a real love relationship with God. We have to be thankful. We have to remember the good works that he has done because they're constant. We have to have faith in the promise of power. Believe ye shall receive power. We have to trust in the divine wisdom. God knows what he's doing. Everything he does is righteous. And we have to be honest. Open up our hearts to God. Open up our hearts to him. Because only in these ways can we have what Jesus had with God. He's our example, and we should do what he did. This is what he told us. And may God bless you as you continue to move forward in this understanding of God normal. What is normal for him? How can we be more and more and more like him day to day? We've got to achieve this love relationship, this thankfulness, this faith in his power. We've got to achieve trust in his wisdom, and we've got to be candid with God. God bless you today. So I know